This is Ozarks at Large. The Springdale Chamber of Commerce released new research identifying which skilled careers will be in highest demand in the region in the coming decade, as well as which training programs deserve more focus. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda attended a recent press conference where officials discussed the results, and she brings us this report.
The findings come from two Chamber Commission studies focused on middle skills careers. These are jobs that generally don't require a four-year degree, but may require training or certification beyond high school. Researchers say nearly half of all jobs by 2020 will require middle skills. Ted Abernathy, managing partner of Economic Leadership LLC, and his team conducted the studies. Abernathy says the workforce issue in America is one of the top issues that's a public policy issue. In addition to an urban and rural divide, there's also a skills mismatch.
There is a societal mismatch between the types of jobs that are being created and the types of skills we seem to have. And if you ask anywhere in America, employers say they're struggling. They're struggling because there's not as many people as they need, and they're struggling because the quality of the skill sets they have don't match the jobs that are out there.
Another contributing factor is how technology has changed many jobs.
What used to be diesel mechanic wrenches is now diesel mechanic technician, which is wrenches and computers. So the field itself has changed, just like the field of a welder has changed, just like the fields that are associated with machinists or anything else has changed.
The Chamber commissioned research identified a number of high-demand occupations, including truck drivers, nurses, and diesel technicians. According to officials, demand for these jobs stems from large numbers of workers reaching retirement, a small number of young people entering high-demand fields, and creation of new jobs. Arkansas, for example, will need nearly 3,000 new diesel technicians by 2027. However, training programs only produce about 116 graduates statewide each year. Abernathy says when you look at pipeline transformation, what you've got to do is get more people in the pipeline with specific skills that are in demand.
There's a pretty clear understanding that currently inside Northwest Arkansas, there's not enough training capacity to meet all those skills. So you either condemn your businesses to spending a lot of their time and money on recruiting from all over the country and trying to entice people to come here, or you find a way to rework, enhance, booster your training programs, starting in the high schools and middle schools even, but all the way up through your community college, your sort of middle skill models, and then on to college.
Perry Webb, president and CEO of the Springdale Chamber of Commerce, says he thinks they have a good grip on what the demands and issues are, but he's not sure they have a real good grip on what the solutions are. However, he does have some ideas. Webb says the demographic shift in the area brings a good solution into focus.
The American dream is built on my kids will do better than I did, and that has been that way generationally for going back, I guess, to the creation of this country. That's not a hard argument to pitch to somebody that's only lived in America for 2 or 3 years. And it's pretty easy for them to identify to their children a path that would allow that to actually occur. And I think there's a willingness there, too, that maybe we don't see in all communities today, but we do see that in that immigrant community. So that shift in demographics is a great opportunity. And I've seen studies where we have to start shifting that information to those families, the parents, as early as the third grade, to identify ways to have a better life.
Researchers made several recommendations, including having employers work with public schools to make students more aware of high-demand careers, creating or growing school-based training programs, expanding the capacity of programs at Northwest Technical Institute, creating more work experiences for students, and teaching additional skills to current workers to fill in-demand positions. A summary of the studies is available at springdale.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And just ahead on Ozarks, an actual paper trail that reaches back to Judge Isaac Parker's federal courtroom in Fort Smith.
Federal officials were in cleaning out the historic courthouse. They were disposing of documents, and Mr. Cravens went over, and they were basically, you know, taking them to the incinerator. And Mr. Cravens said, "Can I have those?"
Papers from Judge Parker's era of justice in Fort Smith are now with the Arkansas State Archives. How those materials survived for more than a century and a half and more in just a moment on this edition of Ozarks at Large. A little bit more history before that. The first football game for the University of Arkansas was played in what year? That team's coach, John Futrell, was a professor of what subject? And what team did Arkansas play twice in that first season? If you know the answers to those questions, you should probably head to Puritan Coffee and Beer on Dixon Street tomorrow night for Razorback Sports History Trivia. The contest begins at Puritan at 7. Oh, and the answers? The first football game was in 1894. Head coach John Futrell's full-time job was professor of Latin. Arkansas, we weren't the Razorbacks yet, it was the Cardinals. Arkansas played Texas once that year and Fort Smith High School twice. By the way, Arkansas defeated Fort Smith High School both times, but lost to Texas. We'd complain about the officiating, but that final score was Texas 54, Arkansas nothing. Oh, what the heck. Let's still blame the officiating.
91.3 is supported by Entertainment Fort Smith, a monthly magazine with a comprehensive calendar of events covering live performances, dining, home design, lifestyles, and people profiles. Available at over 200 locations and on the web, efortsmith.com. Thaden School is now accepting applications for grades 6 through 11 in the 2019-20 academic year. Located in downtown Bentonville, Thaden educates students from across Northwest Arkansas. THADENschool.org for more. The 2019 Cow Patty Run is Saturday evening, April 13th at Gully Park in Fayetteville. This 5K and 1K fun run, hosted by the Spark Foundation, supports health and fitness education and outreach programming in local schools and communities in partnership with the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation. Cow, P-A-D-D-Y, run.com to register or for more information.
The legends surrounding Judge Isaac Parker, called by some the Hanging Judge, are numerous. Works of fiction like True Grit or the Clint Eastwood Western Hang 'Em High make use of that legend. But the judge was very much a real man, serving as a federal judge in Fort Smith for nearly a quarter century. And many documents relating to the proceedings in Judge Parker's court are now safe with the Arkansas State Archives. Stacy Hurst, director of the Department of Arkansas Heritage, says the papers have survived for years in large part because of one man dedicated to preserving history.
There was a gentleman named Fadjo Cravens, F-A-D-J-O Cravens, who lived in Fort Smith, and he was a enthusiastic collector, a historian, and he is well known for just going around and collecting things that he thought were of historic or cultural significance. And so Mr. Cravens was very involved in the restoration, the protection of the Fort Smith National Historic Site and the old county courthouse there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when federal officials were in cleaning out the historic courthouse, they were disposing of documents, and Mr. Cravens went over, and they were basically, you know, taking them to the incinerator. And Mr. Cravens said, "Can I have those?" And these were documents from the Judge Isaac Parker's courtroom, and they were, you know, the U.S. Western District courtroom. And so they said, yes, you can have them. And so he carried off five or six boxes of documents from the courtroom of the Western District of Arkansas. And he kept them in a climate-controlled place and within his house, you know, for decades. And then upon his death, his sons have decided to dispose of some of these very important artifacts and documents. And they made contact with our director of the Historic Arkansas Museum, Swanee Bennett, who they have known from previous dealings in their life. And Swanee said, absolutely, let me talk to Stacy Hurst, who I work for. And I became very interested and brought in Dr. Wendy Richter, who is at the Arkansas State Archives, and the State Archives serves as the repository for important documents in the state of Arkansas. And so we managed to work with the Cravens family and secure this acquisition.
I imagine as a historian and a director of Department of Arkansas Heritage, there's both chilling and wonderful news in this story. Chilling that people who would be emptying out a courthouse would just incinerate documents. But the wonderful news that someone kept them, saved them, and then kept them in a climate-controlled space in their own home.
Yes, I know. It's really remarkable. I mean, Fadjo Cravens is sort of a legend in the history and museum community. He just was an avid collector. And one of his sons was telling me he used to go, you know, on the weekends and go to, like, garage sales and things and just look for things that he thought were of historic or cultural value and would acquire them. And so he is well known in Arkansas history as being just an avid collector and historian. So, yes, we are very fortunate. They apparently, the collection that we have, they were part of the Western District, and they made they were two originals, so a duplicate set, and one set remains probably with the National Archives. And then the historian for the U.S. Marshals, Dave Turk, and I have talked, and so he believes that this is the other original set. So we are just so proud that we have these now, and they will be kept at the Arkansas State Archives and available for not just Arkansans, of course, but for people from throughout the country who have an interest in this very important collection.
Judge Parker, arguably the most famous character in Fort Smith history, but a close second is Bass Reeves. And some of these papers have the mark of Bass Reeves, the U.S. Marshal?
They do. So Judge Parker, as you know, was known as the hanging judge and sentenced 168 criminals to die. He is a well-known figure in our history. Bass Reeves is also a very important figure. He was the first African-American marshal west of the Mississippi River, and he served he rounded up criminals in the Indian Territory and brought them into the courtroom. He was served for 32 years in the Indian Territory, and interestingly, he was illiterate and signed documents with an X mark, and we do have some of those documents where he has signed them with his X. They're expense-related for serving warrants and subpoenas. Quite fascinating collection, but you can really see really the work that he did throughout what was known as the Indian Territory.
So these are court documents. What sort of things are in here? Are there verdicts? Are there death sentences? What do we have in this collection?
It is a 6,000-piece collection, so it is quite extensive. It just reflects this very remarkable history of the Indian Territory and Western Arkansas during, you know, what was a very, I guess you could call it, a pretty lawless time.
Right.
In the late 1800s. But there are all sorts of, you know, documents related to court proceedings and expense vouchers for people like Bass Reeves, who, you know, was out doing the work of the court. Several documents that, you know, have to do with expense vouchers and the proceedings of the court, applications for witnesses, and just all kinds of very interesting documentation of what happened in and around the court.
And we're talking, but you know, in the 19th century, in 1875, 1880s, 1890s. So they're handwritten, correct?
Yes. A lot of them are handwritten. I mean, they are all, and then the signatures are particularly interesting. I mean, a lot of them are hard to make out. Hmm. But we have, you know, our archivists who are going through it. We are working to get them prepared to digitize. And so the documents themselves, which I think people will really want to see the actual document, they are available now. And so people can go to the Arkansas State Archives in Little Rock and visit and actually see the documents. But we'll also put them on the internet. We'll make them available online through digitization. That'll be a process, but we hope to get started here soon and have them available within a couple of months or so.
What is it like when the boxes of Arkansas history, legit Arkansas history, arrive at your building?
Well, it was very fun and very, you know, ceremonial. And the Cravens came, six brothers here. They have an interesting family history, of course, but they all came and they brought the documents and we, you know, of course, took pictures of them bringing them to the Arkansas State Archives and opening the boxes and taking some out to look at them. Interestingly, there is some of these documents, if they put them on the open market, would, you know, they would attract very big fees. Mm. And so one of the real thrills for us is that we were able to keep this collection together and make it available here at the State Archives so that it will be available to the public. So it was very, very thrilling and exciting for us.
You know, Judge Parker takes his role as a legal official just shortly after Arkansas becomes a state. And it's hard not to overemphasize the importance. I mean, you go through Charles Portis and True Grit all the way up through now in the U.S. Marshals Museum under construction. This is a vibrant, important part of the state's history, isn't it?
It really is. It's a great story of our state, and the governor described it as kind of, you know, a rough and tumble time, and with some really interesting characters that were involved, and so it really is important. It was important for us to say this because it does reflect such an interesting time in our history and interesting personalities, and we are very excited that we'll have the opportunity to partner with our colleagues at the Marshals Museum. They came down to Little Rock for the announcement because they understand that the documents themselves will be protected here at the Arkansas State Archives in perpetuity. But we will look forward to collaborations where we could loan them documents that are important to them for exhibits or for presentations. You know, for example, they're going to be very interested in documents pertaining to Bass Reeves. So we look forward to a good collaboration with them in Fort Smith.
Finally, do you ever allow yourself to wish that something that might not be on your radar that's like sort of an Arkansas heritage Holy Grail is still out there that might show up one day?
Oh, for sure. I suspect that is true, and you know, it's good that we have, for example, Swanee Bennett, who knew the Cravens from way back, and he is such a great resource for the state because he is constantly looking for those sorts of items that are of just very important to our history and culture and documenting it and preserving it. So, and Dr. Wendy Richter, our state historian, who is very interested in preserving and offering for the public these important pieces of our history. So, I'm sure it's out there and we will keep looking.
You know, someone has told me that somebody at one time had a cassette recording of Phyllis Schlafly and Diane Blair arguing for and against the Equal Rights Amendment in front of the Arkansas legislature, but I don't know where that cassette is.
Oh, I bet that is out there somewhere. That may be something we need to look for.
Right. Well, congratulations on this, and keep collecting.
Thank you so much.
Stacy Hurst is the director of the Department of Arkansas Heritage. She talked to us about the recent acquisition of papers relating to Judge Isaac Parker.